So last week when Stephanie told me that I was doing this, at the same time she told you guys, the first thought that came to my mind was that Jesus is the light of the world. Like John 8:12 says, so when I was starting, I was, where do I go? So where did light start? So on the first day, Genesis 1:1 through 5.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning the first day.
So it was pretty important that light was the very first thing that God created. That was probably on purpose. As it, so Genesis 1, 16 through 19. Everybody? Okay. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky. Okay, 14 through 19. I'm sorry.
14, okay. That's what I'm
talking
14 through 19. I didn't know I was doing this until about 5 minutes ago. God said, let there be light and expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and for reasons for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day.
So I was reading this, I was like, wait a minute. There was light before our sun. So as the other verse said, that Jesus is the light, which I found to be really interesting, because light brings several things. Light, first of all, brings life. Without light or our sun, we have no heat. We would all freeze, and there would be no photosynthesis, which is what brings us oxygen, and makes all the plants grow, which we eat, and the animals eat, which we eat. It gives us vitamin D. We get vitamin D from our sunlight, which keeps us alive. So light is essential to life. It also brings comfort. Some of us, but we get scared of the dark sometimes. And I'm going through this way too fast. when we're scared of the dark, we can look at our lighthouse and see that Jesus, if we look at Jesus, our problems disappear, because you are, like in the saying, you are what you eat. If you're more focused on that we have the hope of heaven and that Jesus came to die for us, that we have that hope. So I'm going to read Psalm 119, 105.
The word is a lamp to my feet, and the light is light to my path.
So if we look at our lighthouse, we will be able to see where we're going and know what our purpose is. So light also brings truth. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because when you shine a light, you don't know what's in the darkness. Going back to the comfort, that when you're in a dark room, you don't know what's in the room. But when you shine a light in it, you truthfully know what's in the room. So, John 3:19-21.
This is the verb. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light, for the fear their deeds will be exposed.
So when we look at Jesus in the light, then we will be able to see what the truth is. And the truth is Jesus and what Jesus said. So when we're looking at that, we'll be able to see the truth and see where we're going and be able to have comfort in that. Another thing the light brings is color. Because color, as I was doing my research, is actually simply different wavelengths of, maybe not simply, but different wavelengths of visible light reflecting off of things. So it's just that objects absorb some wavelengths and others bounce back off of them, which is what our eyes see as color. So as Jesus is leading our way, the color makes things more clear. Everything was black and white, everything's a little less clear. But God's light brings color to things and adds definition to everything, which helps us find our way. So, and lastly, color brings purpose, because with life and color and truth and comfort, these things all help us find our purpose. So Proverbs 16:4. Anybody? Are we gonna get it written down?
Mine's in Matthew. I know it's not me.
That one did not get written down.
I'll read it. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster.
Yeah. What'd you say? Proverbs 16:4. Okay, so God creates everything with a purpose, because in Psalm 139:15-16. So, God has created us, and He knows everything about us, and He created us in the secret place, and knows every one of our days, so that we can trust that He has a purpose for us, and that with the light of Jesus, that we can follow that purpose, and we will trust that, because like in Matthew 8, when they woke Jesus up on the back of the boat, and they're like, Jesus, we're all going to die. Just like, no, you're not. I'm with you. So we should be able to find hope in that and the comfort that light, the Jesus light brings. So then without the light, we will always be formless and void, just like the earth before Jesus brought it light and form. Because we will always be searching without Jesus. Without Jesus, we won't be able to find our purpose and we'll always be void. So, what is our purpose? According to the Westminster Catechism, what is the chief end of man?
Chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So, what does it necessarily mean to glorify Him? Matthew 22:37-40.
Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
So, by glorifying God, we must obey Him. And that the greatest commandments are to love Him and to love others. And kind of by loving others, Matthew 28:19-20.
All right. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
So, by glorifying God and loving others, we bring them to Jesus, because that is love, because we're sharing with them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ of heaven. And do this by Colossians 3:12-14.
Put on then, as God's chosen, holy and beloved, love, passionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and
So like we've been talking about in youth group as the fruits of the Spirit. So when we have compassion and kindness and humility and forgiveness and love, those things are attractive to people who are haven't found their purpose in Jesus, and that they are void and are always searching for something. And it's very different when people have all those things. And the contrast is so great that it cannot be hidden. Like in Daniel 6, when Daniel denies the king's order and still prays, even though he knew that that the king ordered to kill whoever, anybody who would pray to anybody but him. So he knew that death would be coming if he continued to do it, but he still did it because he knew that his God was greater than the king. He was glorifying God by doing that. And in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow down to the idol, and because they said that our God is greater. They're glorifying God because that's their purpose. And when King Nebuchadnezzar said that, will your God save you? And they said, God will save us, but if not, we still believe, and we aren't going to bow down. So I thought that was interesting, that that's what our life should look like, is that even when people say you shouldn't do that or that's dumb, but we know that God, that's glorifying God, and we should get enjoyment out of that, like the Catechism says. So Matthew 5:14-16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
So when we are a light on the hill, that the whole world can see, when we have the fruits of the Spirit from Jesus being in us, that we should be Jesus' light shining through us. Because we are the body of Christ, and if Jesus is in us as the light of the world, then Jesus will shine through us. Just like, what should that look like in our lives? How Daniel is just one example, and how they believe Jesus at all cost. Or not Jesus, but God at all cost. And how that I did some research, and the average human eye, if it was flat, could see a lit candle with no obstructions from 1.6 miles away. The average human eye in regular conditions. 1.6 miles is a long way for just a little bitty flame. So we're going to do an experiment here, and we're going to turn off the lights. And can everybody get their flashlight out on their phone? Hold our flashlights up. See how much brighter the room just got? Because we are the light of Jesus shining through. I can still read my paper because we are the light of Jesus. That should be so others can see Jesus through us. That was a really cool example. One of the first things that came to my mind after Stephanie announced that during announcements was that I had seen that done at a winter jam in the Coliseum, and they turned all the lights out and it got bright after everybody turned their flashlight on. I wasn't supposed to cry. So, and just like sparklers, when you put them together, you can turn those back on. just like sparklers, if you put sparklers together, they burn way brighter and hotter when they're all together. Just like when we come here.
Hey, I'm so glad God still sees us in the dark.
It's like she says that Jesus sent his only son for us, that he sent the light of the world to die on a cross for our hope, and that we should be able to share that hope with our communities. So I challenge everybody as they go today to Corona and Hudson and Waterloo and throughout the week that we would make an extra effort to be the light of Jesus in our workplace and in 4th of July and everything, all the people we see and come in contact with. So if you pray with me. God, thank you for sending your son into the world to bring us light and purpose and truth, and that we would help us to glorify you and enjoy you and to make disciples of everybody and to be your light in the world, even if it comes to death, that we would still believe you even if it came to that, because we have so much trust in you because of the hope that you've given us by sending your son, that we matter that much to you, that even when we don't know what we're doing, that